you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
What's up, Gypsy Gang? We are back for another episode of the Gypsy Tales podcast. And back again, the general, the great man, Papa Deegan. Brian Deegan is back in an impromptu studio. Shout out to my boy Jack at What's Pickle. If you've seen BAM TV, you've seen his work. He come through with the goods to help us get these podcasts done with Danger Boy and Brian. So massive, massive thanks. And also to Gavin, which is part of the Deegan family media machine. Really stoked to get this one done with Brian. Pretty cool to, really hear it from the horse's mouth. I mean, I didn't know, besides what people think, I actually didn't know that Hayden was going to star. I guess you could kind of assume it with, you know, a little bit of quick math. But regardless, I didn't know. I waited for the announcement like everybody else. And then, Brian was keen to come on and I guess just explain the deal. There's so much talk that goes on around deals like this. So I think Brian just wanted to kind of really tell the whole story just put it all to bed. So really, really cool to get to talk to Brian about a pretty special stage in their life. Grateful we got to do this one. Thanks to everybody that helped make it happen. I really enjoyed it. And here's to a couple really crazy years of watching Danger Boy on a factory star racing Yamaha. But before we get into this episode, just a message from our awesome sponsors. Brace yourselves because winter is coming, and what the writers of Game of Thrones didn't want to tell you is that Bran was actually in a wheelchair because he didn't trim his balls with Manscaped. The poor guy thought it was okay to trim his balls with a traditional razor and hair trimmer. Not sure what you want as a gift for the holidays? Well, Manscaped is the ultimate gift and they're here to change men's grooming, and you can get 20% off plus free shipping when you use the code GypsyGang at manscaped.com. Look, I've been there. We've all been there. If you've got a set, at some point you've made them bleed, but that time is over. It's time to gear up and get yourself the gift of shaving this holiday season. I'm talking about the Manscaped Perfect Package 4.0. The Performance Package 4.0 is by far and away the best in the business. This hygiene bundle includes the Lawnmower 4.0, the Weed Whacker, boxes, travel kit, and liquid formulations. And if you want to smell good everywhere, the Refined Cologne by Manscaped is a clean and fresh scent designed for the refined gentleman much like yourself. On top of everything, they've even thrown in the Shed travel bag to carry your goods and the Manscaped anti-chafing boxer briefs to hold the entire package together. Once again, you can get 20% off plus free shipping with code GypsyGang at manscaped.com. During the winter, you may be spending more time inside with your balls, so you might as well make them beautiful. We are brought to you by the guys at mxstore.com.au, Australia's largest dirt bike parts and accessories website. Massive supporters of this podcast for a long time and massive supporters of just motocross and off-road riding in general in Australia. Once again, if you're listening to this episode, the day it comes out, we will actually be at the Gold Coast Cup. another example of the MX Store crew getting behind the Graz Roots level of racing. I will be leaving the studio right now to go to MX Store to do the click and collect. If you live in Southeast Queensland, you can do the click and collect option at their Burleigh Superstore. If not, don't despair. If you order before 2 p.m. On the weekday, you get same day shipping. So once again, mxstore.com.au, and hopefully we see everybody at the Gold Coast Cup this weekend. We are also brought to you by the guys at Fist Handwear. The guys and girls, actually, they got a full posse making sure that the best gloves in the world get shipped direct to your door, no matter where you are in the world. The guys there do an amazing job, and Chapter 16 is as good as Fist has ever been. You can head to fisthandwear.com, use the code Gypsy Gang. That is going to get you 15% off. That code works no matter where you are in the world. I personally run the Breezer gloves. They are my favorite for Chapter 16. They've just launched the Breezers that I've been running for a little while. So they are my favorite gloves. If you want to get onto fisthandwear.com, have a search for the Breezers and maybe you'll feel inclined to pick them up. Summer here in Australia, so the Breezers are going to come in handy. If you're listening to this in America, they also do their cold weather glove as well, which is awesome. I wear that when I'm on the road bike in the morning. So once again, fisthandwear.com, code Gypsy Gang is going to get you 15% off. You are going to get 15% off as well when you use the code Gypsy Gang at rivalinkdesignco.com. These guys are the best in the business. No matter where in the world you are listening to this podcast, go to rivalinkdesignco.com, get online and check out these guys. They do some of the best work, I think, in the industry. They're definitely innovators when it comes to the graphic space. It's why we love working with them. Also been known to knock down a beer or two, and they will be at the track ripping as well. So the crew at Rival really do live what they sell, and it comes through in their products. So once again, rivalinkdesignco.com, use code GypsyGang. It's going to get you 15% off, and make sure you sign up for their CRF 110 giveaway when they hit 100k. They're getting so close. You can also sign up for that on the website as well. All right, thanks so much, guys. I hope you enjoy this episode. As always, shoot me a message on Instagram, subscribe to our YouTube channels. We got two of those bad boys, one for the full podcast, one for the clips. There'll be a bunch of stuff here. There'll be a bunch of stuff on there from this podcast. So thank you, guys. Enjoy. What's up, man?
What's going on, dude?
We're back at it, bro.
I know, right? It's been, I don't know. When's the last time we talked?
I think we probably did this in like May.
May? Yeah,
it's going
huh?
quick, man. You know, right? You know what's crazy, dude? Hayden's grown up a lot, just like maturity, like just having a conversation with him from May to now.
Really, I think so?
Is insane. Yeah. No, you could really tell like a difference.
Yeah, he's. I mean, since May, I bet he's gained probably. He went from probably 120 to almost 140, and gained. I grew probably 2 or 3 inches. He kind of hit a growth spurt. And I think a lot's happened the last, few months that almost made him kind of grow up, have to, realize that this is becoming a job,
Yeah, man, you can, you could just fully tell, like, conversation-wise. Like, I could have kept talking to him for ages, Like, it's like talking to a young man now.
Yeah, for sure. And I think everyone's kind of seen that in the last, 3 or 4 months. It's definitely been a big change for sure.
Yeah. So talk to me, Star Yamaha.
Yeah. I mean, last time we talked, we were deep into racing Super Mini and deep into the KTM deal. And, it's honestly was one of the most stressful, tough years I think for us, as far as motocross goes and with our family, like I really like staying. I like being loyal, and I like to give everyone as much, you know, as much opportunity chances as we can with sponsors and partners. And it just comes down to, like, you know, KTM has been so good to us for so many years. And I feel like, you know, this is why I touched on that conversation last time we talked is, you know, we invest a lot into our social, a lot into our YouTube, a lot into trying to make the most for our sponsors and pay them back for what they give us. And it's not just time, right? We have multiple employees, we have payrolls and, you know, salaries and travel expenses. And it's just a lot goes into putting out the content and the support we give to our partners. And there's a lot goes into it. And that's why I think, you know, I felt it was important to touch on that last time we talked, that, you know, coming up to this moment of a decision when a young rider goes pro or just decides to sign his pro contract, that, you know, oh, there's been so much put into this rider and we're finally going to get our big payoff. And I feel like, you know, we that's why I touched on that. I feel like we were doing our payoff every year with our social. Yeah. And I feel like a lot of kids bought dirt bikes, you know, bought KTMs because of Hayden. And I feel like we did our job. We paid our dues for what we were given. And that's why at the end of the day, I felt like when we made our decisions, I had to look at it like, you know what? I feel like we're leaving here pretty even. I feel like, you know, everyone gave us bikes, parts and contingency and support. And I feel like we in return put, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars into our social and our media and put them front and center. And I can't say enough about, you know, I couldn't say one bad thing about KTM. I couldn't say one bad thing about that whole program. It's been awesome. It was perfect for the amateur racing and what we needed. And into the pro ranks, it's just a very, very, very tough decision that had to happen. And you guys kind of see how it played out. And there's so much behind the scenes, man. There was a lot of sleepless nights that I was just like talking to Hayden, talking to Marisa, and just going, man, what do we do? Like, I was like, one day it was KTM and one day it's Yamaha. And then, you know, you got kind of the other colors got thrown into the mix too. And we're like, oh man, this is getting very tough. So anyway, that was a very, very stressful year for me, for the whole family.
Oh dude, I can't even imagine. So to put into context, right? So I always talk about the 350, KTM 350. That's the best bike. If you're an average rider, that's the bike you should be on. I've been on that for a while, right? So we're doing some same deal, you know, like we're talking to sponsors and shit like that. I went through... So after a while, I started getting all these messages of people being like, dude, I just got a KTM 350, best bike. I just got a Husky 350. And then after a while, I was like, dude, I'm going to start screenshotting this shit of like all the people that say... So I went through my screenshots the other day, and I got 22 dudes that have wrote to me like with a picture of their new dirt bike. So the concrete, I bought a 350. So like, that's about 200 and something thousand dollars of KTM sales, right?
Yep.
So think about in 8 years. And so your comments were off on your YouTube channel the first time we did the podcast, right? Yep. So I feel like we had this influx of comments on our posts of people that wanted to comment on your shit that didn't have the chance to. Mm-hmm. Dude, if someone goes through those comments and sees how many people said, I bought KTMs because of the Deegans, and like even we posted that clip yesterday or Monday when you guys announced, and I took some screenshots, I'll text them to you, but there is just so many people that said they've bought KTM. So if I've got 22, imagine what the Deegans have got. So I would say that you guys are about as even Stevens as it gets. And it's just like, okay, that I know that's a conversation that you want out there, but it's like, in my mind, I'm like, it's not even a conversation. Like this was such a two-way relationship for such a long time. Like, I just don't think that anybody could question that side of things through you guys.
That's good, you know, because I, you know, let's be honest. Everyone can say, oh, I don't care what people say, my comments. I mean, everyone that has social, they read their comments, right? And so, you know, we see it. We see everything from the good to the bad to like, oh, they just went for the money, or they just, you know, it was like, oh, this was always planned, or I'm like, nah, dude, really, like, we're pretty much an open book. Like, we went down to the final day. I think it was like September, the last week in September, that we were like, what do we do? And then finally, it came down to that last few days, and the contract was going to end with KTM, and we're like, we have to make a decision. And Hayden tried the bikes, and we went to all the facilities, and I just think my style, you know, how we are, you know, I came from nothing, came from, you know, we roughed it, you know, through my career, and let's just say the Deegans are a little rough around the edges. We know that. And that's always been our style. Like, we've been always just like, we go for it. We say what we want to say. And if we don't have to wear a collared shirt to work, even better, right? That's always been our style, right? So I feel like after going to all the facilities and seeing all the things, and I just sat back and said, Hayden, what do you want to do? And he really liked that, the Yamaha. He really liked the way the bike's power was. It's his style. You know, he likes the torque, likes the bottom end. That's the way he rides. And the facility and the people and everyone around was just like, dude, this is our style. Like, it just is. And you know, you'd like to say, oh, was it a Monster thing? Because I see that too. Oh, it was Monster. Dude, of course Monster. Like, they've been like family. Like, they're a big part of what we do. Yeah, of course, right? Like, these are obvious things, right? Yeah. And so... But it came down to Hayden, it's your decision, man. Like, you're going to have to ride this bike. You're going to have to work with this team. And this is the guys you're going to surround yourself with. And the more we got around it, we're like, this is our style, man. Like, these guys want to win. They're not so worried about, I'll be honest, my vibe is, they're not so worried about, like, oh, how clean is the, you know, I don't know, maybe the race shop or the button-up shirt or this, that. It's like, we want a fast bike. We want to win the race. I go, cool, because that's what we want to do. You know, like, that's just vibe. And I'm like, okay. And that's the way kind of Monster is. Or, you know, like, they're edgy and, you know, they've always been a little rough and around the edges. I'm like, cool, that's our vibe. So I feel like everything kind of fit together. Hayden's definitely way more professional, clean cut, and more focused than I was as a racer, for sure. So I think him getting around all these champions fits that mold. You know, he's getting a ride with the best of the best. And, you know, every day we're involved in this deal, we jumped right into it, went down to the goat farm, and Hayden jumped right into this crazy training program and started going. He's like, I'm in. And they said, okay, let's let him in and see how he does. And they're like, wow, man, his foundation's solid. And as a dad, I was like, wow, that felt really good to hear that, because we've put a lot of work into this and a lot of hours, a lot of money, a lot of time. And you know, a lot of driving, a lot of all-nighters, and, you know, just making it to the races and trying to fit in Haley's stuff and Hudson stuff and, you know, and family and everything else, and along with trying to build Hayden this champion racer. And, man, there's a lot goes into it. You know, I think people that do it understand it, but man, it's been a grind, dude. It's like, it's been a grind. And just to get to this final point of, like, this is just the beginning, though, and it just is. But this decision was so big and so important. And I was like, man, I just took a lot of weight off my shoulders. And every day we're here, every day we're around the team, I feel better about it. I feel, okay, we made the right decision. Every day he's got a crew of guys around him, you know, like watching his suspension, watching his motor, watching his technique. And I'm like, I was kind of that guy being there. And then I was like, okay, I'll back up, man. This is cool. Like, I'm glad, you know, like, this is exactly what we wanted. And so, you know, what does the future hold? I don't know. Like, you know, like, at the end of the day, it's up to Hayden. It's, you know, he's got the desire, the team's there, they're winners. They all, you know, I think he's in a great position, man. I think he's just in a good position. And before I go off that thought is, how did he get here? In this position, and I see it too, oh, the dad, the parents, oh, money. It wasn't that, man. Like, at the end of the day, all the contracts were close. They're all close. Like, when you sign a lights rider, not one guy is going to get the James Stewart freaking millions of dollars contract. Just that doesn't exist anymore, man. And so they're all close. And you just kind of have to come down to, like, who do you want to be married to? Who do you want to be, you know, in a relationship with for the next so many years? And that's what's important. And I felt like, you know, I felt like it was time for the right thing for Hayden was to be with this team. And the reason he got here was this foundation of people. There was hundreds and hundreds of people that helped Hayden get here from you know, motor guys to family, to, you know, sponsors, you know, to everyone that bent over backwards, to promoters, to everyone that helped him to get to this point. I mean, there is so many people involved in this. I can't even start, like, thanking each person. There's so many people, and it's cool. It's cool to say, okay, here he is, and the team go, wow, man, good job. And so I feel like we're at a good spot, man.
Yeah, man, I mean, I agree with everything that you said. I was, when Hayden was just on then, I said to him, you know, he obviously would know, like, the narrative that, like, the negative narrative is, oh, fucking Danger Boys, just Brian Deegan's son, rich kids, had everything handed to him his whole life. And I sort of, I said to Hayden just then, it's like, what you did, like, you just picked the best bike and you picked the program that was right for you. But what you showed, and I think I may have even said this to you yesterday when we spoke, but he showed that he didn't want it easy. Like, to jump in, to move to Florida and to jump in and be the little fish in the big pond and be the little kid with all these grown-ass men around, and to go to Florida where it's hot as fuck all year round and it's going to rain most of the days, that he chose the hard option. Like, Star Racing Yamaha, that's the hard team to ride for, bro. Yeah. Like, do you know what's easy? Staying in California, yeah, where there's tons of cute girls rolling around. He's the man at every track he goes to. Like, you get to stay in the comfort zone. You get to stay with mom. Mm-hmm. Like, he chose, like, the little rich kid that's been given everything his whole life. Guess what? He just chose the hardest option. And I think that says a lot about his character.
I'm glad you said that, because I that's been a thought on my mind for sure. And I'm like, and knowing that too, that Hayden's 15, right? He's in my eyes, still a kid becoming a young man. Right. And I'm like, so we still, you know, have to be involved, our parents, and we still have to guide and make sure things are going the right way for sure. And California, yeah, we could have easily stayed right there and said, you know what, KTM's right down the street, test tracks are there, we have everything we need, right? Yeah. I mean, we're good, like, we could run that program. But I looked at it and I'm like, okay, let's be honest, KTM's 450 program, badass, right? These guys, like, no joke, that is one of the best teams, 100%. And then I'd say, okay, lights programs, okay, for a young rider that's 15 years old, that needs to get developed. He's not there yet. He's got a lot of work to do. Okay. He's got at least another year or two. Who knows how many years until he'll be ready to be professional? Because when he turns pro, there's no turning back, dude. And you're on the best team that wins championships. Okay. You're not going to go out and run 10th, right? It's not, like, people aren't going to be okay with that. It's not okay. Like, let's just go out and race Supercross and learn as we go. It's just not an option. So my point is, we really thought about what's the best spot for Hayden to develop as a 15-year-old racer. And that was one of the key decisions and key points in this whole decision was where's the best place for him. And that's where we ended up, because Star has built a lot of young riders. And they built a lot of riders that weren't just phenoms, right? They built riders that kind of came out of the woodwork, right? And they formed them and molded them. And next thing you know, these dudes are winning championships. And so I'm like, wow, that to me, I see all that. I study that. And, you know, KTM, yeah, he would have been there. He would have been a factory, you know, lights guy there. And then, I mean, one of two guys that I know of at this point. And I mean, there have been a ton of focus on him. I mean, there would have been a lot of guys I focus on him. And instead, he's like, okay, I'm going to jump into a team where I'm going to be the lowest man on the totem pole. And all these dudes are champions ahead of me. And man, this is not the easy, like people may think that was the easy choice. I don't think it was. Like at the end of the day, he picked a gnarly choice and a move to, this isn't like, oh, the goat farm. This is like middle of the woods in Georgia, okay? It's not like we're at some like, you know, Disneyland. It's like, you know what I'm saying? It's not like, you know, Southern California where there's like 10 tracks right here and everyone's pulling up in their factory rigs and you're riding with all the top dudes are all coming from all directions and there's, you know, photographers everywhere, video guys everywhere. And it's, you know, California's the scene, right, for moto. I get it. It's badass. But at the point of where he needs to be, he doesn't need the glitz and glam right now. He just doesn't. He needs to put his head down and train and work and basically come out in a year or two from now as, you know, a changed rider, a developed rider, a matured rider that hopefully can get the job done, dude. And hopefully this is a place with less distractions. And I'm proud of his decision, you know, because if he would have said, hey, I want to go this way or that way, we would have been like, okay, man, let's figure it out. We'll make this work. And that's kind of what happened, dude. And it, you know, people can say, oh, it was about the money, about this. It just wasn't, dude. Like, we're not sitting in a situation where we have to do that. Like, oh, we needed a sign for that. Like, that wasn't the situation, man. It just wasn't.
Yeah, yeah, no, I think it's cool. Like, as a kid, he chose the hard road. And, you know, like, you historically, like, you go back and you look at, Ricky, he lived in that fucking house that's there.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's the hard road.
Yeah.
The hard road's the road you want to be on.
Yeah, and you look at it, and I look at it too. I'm like, how many, you know, where do these champions come from? Where do they come from around the world? And, man, a lot of good guys have come from Europe, you know, and a lot of, you know, let's see who's, you know, Frandis. And you look at some of the guys that are on top right now, you're like, okay, it's been a while since this SoCal guy has rised up, right? And I think to do that, he needs to get around those guys that are champions and winning. And I feel like that's what was so critical about being here and talking to Ricky. You know, Ricky showed up to the track and you know, he's like, man, I go, what did you do? Where did you train? He's like, right here. I go, you didn't go anywhere else? He's like, no, right here. This is it. And he's like, this is where I train. This is where I did my motos. I go, who'd you ride with? He's like, the clock, man. I raced the clock. And like, it was some OG. I was like, this guy's like, this is OG right here. Because he wasn't like, oh, I was at Paris and Glen Helen and riding with all the bros and like all the guys were there and we were just doing motos. Like, no, he was like, I was here doing work and you living in that house, right? I don't even know, like, it's like this tiny little cabin. And and it's pretty old and it's, I mean, you gotta be pretty gritty to stay there, dude. And it sounds like that was his spot, man. And it paid off, you know, 10 years of grit. Now he's living, does whatever he wants to do. And he's, you know, one of the most respected dudes in the sport, if not the world. And because he put in the time, put in the work, you know, and I can respect that.
Yeah, man, for sure. I'm pretty sure, I don't want to get this wrong, and I'll ask him, but I'm pretty sure, but like before he went 24-0, we were there doing a Suzuki thing years ago, and we're talking about it, and he's like, yeah, I lived in this house for years, and I was like, and I thought like, 1 to 5 days, you know, but I'm pretty sure when he went 24-0, he was living in that wooden house there, and I'm pretty sure I remember him telling me that when he did his knee, he just sat on a stationary bike on that porch and was just like, just constantly on the stationary bike trying to get his knee better. And then he went out and did that 24-0. And Townley moved over there with him. And like, man, the stories that Townley's got of being at that farm and like Genie yelling at him, he was like, dude, it was fucking hardcore. He's like, he was the man in Europe. Yeah. Like he was winning world titles in Europe and like fucking giving it to Stefan Evans. And then he goes, man, I got to that place and he goes, that's where like real shit went down.
Yeah, and I can see it because you're really secluded. There's nothing around. And, you know, you're basically, you got a couple badass supercross tracks. You got an outdoor track. And the dirt's different there. Like, it's very hard to explain, but yeah. The dirt's really good. And it's like this red clay with sand in it. And I think that has a lot to do with the probably secret to success, because it can rain there and within hours it gets to a really good condition and it forms really good ruts. But when it dries, it gets like Cali hard. And so you get all these different conditions out of this area. And so I can kind of see, you know, where he had something special there. And it's cool that Star took that on and figured that out and said, okay, let's carry on this tradition. And I think Ricky was stoked that place got to go to a good home. And you know, it's going to live on, right? And then I was excited, you know, to see Genie and Big Rick, and they come out and they just love moto. And that's where I am. You know, I just love the sport, dude. And I have, and hopefully we'll just be involved for many years in the sport. I like it, man. I could have gone to car racing, could have gone to this, could have gone to that. And I just always end up back at dirt bikes. And I think that's what I see with the Carmichaels, man. They're just lifers. And they gave a lot to the sport. They gave the best rider probably the sport will ever see. And they're still involved, man. Genie's out there helping Hayden and Romano and with Nick. And I'm like, that's cool, man. You know, they don't have to do that. But I'm like, that's just cool. Like, I can respect that.
Oh, man. And you drive down the driveway. And then once you get in past that gate, it's pine trees 360. So you literally are just in a box. You can't see outside. There's no outside world when you're at the goat farm. There just is the goat farm and then pine trees. And you're just locked in, and that's, you just go there. There's one thing to do there, and it's get good at moto.
Yep, and that's it. And I give Star credit that they said, you know, we're going to buy this facility. We're going to build a massive shop there. They have a shop they built, and the bikes are just getting moved in, and they have the engine room, suspension room. This is all in-house and on the track right there. And I'm like, man, this is awesome. Like, Hayden's going to ride, and if there's something a little off with the bike, the tuner's right there. We'll say, okay, let's change the suspension. Boom, let's try this, let's try that. I mean, how could you get any better than that? Like, how could you develop any faster than that? And you have the coaches right there, you know, and they're gonna, you know, have a gym. And I mean, dude, it is like the ultimate setup if you wanna be the best. You don't have to like, oh, I'll meet you at the track tomorrow to test, or next Thursday we got a date, we're gonna do some suspension, we're gonna do some motors. This is what we got. You're like, no, dude. Oh, we needed this. Oh, we're going to build that and we'll have it ready for you this afternoon. It's like, okay, like, here we go. Like, I always felt like I was the ultimate mini dad, like the ultimate, like, super serious, like do whatever it takes to win. Like, we'll drive all night. We'll, whatever parts we need to get, we're getting it. The fastest bike, let's get on the dyno, you know, like, and I feel like they're the same or are another level of that mentality. I'm like, good, let's partner with that, right? It's always felt like I was the guy pushing everything. And now I feel like, oh, okay, these dudes are on another level and they're going to take it so far. And I think that's what Hayden's vibe is too. Like, he's used to, like, okay, always wanting to get better, always going, okay, let's get the bike. You know, let's work on the bike, let's develop, let's get it exactly how he wants it. And I think he's always kind of been in that realm. And right now that's like the perfect atmosphere right now for the vibe that we've always wanted.
Yeah, yeah. So what do you see as your role now? Like, are you going to try and back it down a bit? Are you going to try and, like, because I mean, the jury's out for me as far as I'm concerned. Like, since we've first started talking and been in contact since the podcast, like, I have no doubt the nature in which you approach this whole deal. Like, this isn't about you. There's no, like, I don't think your ego is attached to this program at all. Like, I really do believe that you are just trying to do the best thing for your kid. So now that there's a factory team, the best factory team, like, what's your role? Like, what do you see as your role for doing the best for your kid now?
Yeah, like, you know, that, it's a good question. At the end of the day, we sat there and thought, and I'm like, man, well, I'm right here making, trying to help my son make a decision for his career, his future. And I mean, it's such an important decision. And that's very, very stressful and hard on a parent. And I'm like, man, I just want to make the right decision or influence the right decision. And then you're like, okay, I'm here. And I always tell teams, I always tell people, trainers, coaches, that I'm here because I feel like I can offer a good service to my son or my daughter or my, you know, in the racing, whether it's coaching, whether it's training, whether it's nutrition or bike setup. And I'm like, if you can replace me or equally replace me or even better, cool, great. You know, I want to be a dad. Like, trust me, like I want to spend some time, you know, with the family and do, you know, like normal things once in a while. And I think hopefully that my role can, you know, always be dad, right? That's just the way it is when you have kids. But I always, you know, I feel like my role is still going to always be there, you know, if my kids need them. And I just feel like, you know, as Hayden matures and gets older, that, you know, we'll let, you know, let him crawl, let him run, let him, you know, let him walk, let him run. And like, okay, like, I feel like the team has a good grasp on everything that I did, right? Everything that I did for Hayden. And so I think my role is just really just going to be dad, right? You know, and I'm, you know, still going to be there. Like, we're not, you know, he's still young, so we're not like going to live at the farm, right? It's like, you know, we still have family. He still's got to you know, be a young adult and do school. And there's still other things to do. It's not like, okay, from 8 to 8, we're riding a dirt bike at the farm, right? It's, which, you know, we'll do, if that's what it takes, we're going to do what it takes. But there is other things, right? There is other things that we have to focus on also, which is like education and you know, just growing up outside of the world of motocross too, right? You gotta become a normal like citizen, and, you know, also, that's important to us. And I think that's going to be mainly our role, right? Is staying grounded and trying to be family. And that's our role, you know? And I think, you know, I'm still going to be going to the track with them still, you know, when we go to North Carolina or go, you know, say we're out in California, I love riding, man. I love riding with my kids. That's it. Like if I can ride a dirt bike with my son, dude, cool. You know, like I'm happy. So, you know, but I feel like, like I said, dad encompasses this big thing, but you know, I'm slowly going, cool, these dudes got it, man. Yeah. So that's kind of my vibe, but you know, we just started. So I'm still kind of, you know, still figuring around. Yeah. Figuring it out.
When I did the podcast with Langston, he was saying that one of the benefits, cause his dad was like super, super involved. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about the role that his dad played. And he said that probably the best thing that he found was that his dad could sometimes just like be the bad guy so that he didn't have to be when like some shit was going wrong with the team or the bike and things weren't really working out. It was like he got to be sheltered a little bit from some of the harder conversations because he did have his dad around and his dad was so competent in knowing the program. And it was the same sort of thing, you know, like his dad was there from day one. So, I mean, I think that's probably like the move, you know, like to insert yourself when it's like, when you really have to be the bad guy so that nothing has to get awkward for Hayden, he can stay a little bit protected. Yeah. But I mean, there's some guys in the pro ranks now that you hear that their dad's like a real problem still.
Yep.
So it's like, it can kind of, there's a balancing act to be found. But yeah, I think the fact that you've been so involved, you know, the ins and outs, you know, the industry, you know, so much, like you kind of can be that little buffer zone, just take the edge off any of the awkward, gnarly shit that Hayden's got to cut, you know, because it's all great now, obviously, but it's like in any relate, like you said, you're in a marriage and a marriage ain't always going to run smooth. Yeah. So if you can be like the marriage counselor at times, like that's probably the move. That's probably the move, you know?
Yeah, no, 100%. Like, and we've had the same managers for many years, you know, at Connections, Bob and Ryan, these guys have been around moto forever and they've been great. They had a huge part in this deal. And so we have great people around us. We've surrounded ourselves with really good people. You know, my kids have great relationships with them. When there's time to be the bad guy, like I usually like let the managers be the bad guys if this stuff needs to get done, right? Yeah. But if dad has to be dad and come in and do be the guy, like, and you know, try to hold the ground or, you know, set things straight in a certain way, yeah, for sure. That, I mean, I'm okay with that, you know. But you know, like I said, we've always tried to surround ourselves with a good team of guys to have all these different layers, and where Hayden can just be the kid who or the young adult is focusing on racing and getting better. And so, but yeah, I agree on that. And yeah, I think I've been racing my whole life, built multiple teams that have run on, you know, 7-figure budgets, right? And so I've been around racing, you know, a long time. And I feel like a good compliment I got from the team, you know, me and Bobby, a lot of people don't understand, me and Bobby go back many, many years. If you look back at...
You sponsored the team.
Yeah, like if you look back at Cooper Webb's and Martin's bikes when they were, before they won championships, and you'd see the Deegan 38 logo on their bikes, you saw, you know, even back in the day when they wore militia gear, right? So like that all came from, you know, myself, our group, and we've been involved for a long time. So I kind of felt like almost it was kind of cool coming back together. And hopefully we bring strength to the team. And I know the team's already badass. They're already the best, you know. But, you know, if I can come to a program or we can come to a program and offer something to make it, you know, even better than it is, great, good. Like, you know, if we can offer assistance, like we know we have a lot of contacts, you know. And, you know, we definitely, you know what I'm saying? Like we definitely have the ability to, you know, to strengthen a team, you know, as far as partners go. And I don't know, we'll see how it plays out, but you know, the team's awesome. Like there's nothing we need to do or change about the team. I just like to feel like I'm not a guy taken away from it, you know. That's what I don't
want.
You know, I don't want to be
rising
that
rising tide floats all boats.
There you go. Yeah,
the rising tide floats all boats, man.
Yeah, and I like how you say that because I haven't really heard that before until you said that, and I'm like, yeah, it makes sense, man. And a lot of people have to understand, like, our family came from racing, came from moto, came up, and then, you know, was able to get into car racing, and was able to get my daughter into NASCAR, and she was able to get a ride with Ford Motors, and one of the best rides you can get as a young adult. And then I put a lot of focus on Haley when she was about 17, 18, because it was important for me to make sure she got to a good team. And then I said, okay, boom, here we go, Hayden. And then a lot of focus. A lot of people are like, why is he still riding a Super Mini? Why? I go, just wait.
Yeah.
Just wait. Like, we have a plan. Like, I think we know what we're doing. Like, so let's see what this works. And I know all I did was stick to what the best have done and go, okay, go out and dominate your class and then go, okay, we're ready to look at some contracts and make a decision. And that's how it played out. And I feel like so far it's been really good.
Yeah. And a lot of people would have thought, so we posted that clip, like we had the little bit that we deleted out of the original podcast, which I think was cool, actually. Yeah. I think the way that all went down, because, well, it was super respectful to KTM, but a lot of people, when we posted that, they were like, oh, I knew they were going to star. You didn't know you were going to star then. Like, this wasn't a done deal. And I think a lot of people think that we put that clip out because we knew, like, dude, I didn't know. When you text me and you said, like, oh, we got an announcement Monday, I genuinely didn't know. And I didn't even want to ask. I was like, oh, whatever, I'll find out with the rest of everyone. I fucking hate all that shit when people try and blow people's deals out early.
Yeah.
But it was just like, I didn't even know. So it's like, yeah, I made those comments that, like, well, if you want to win, you probably go to star. But, like, I didn't know. You didn't know. This wasn't a deal that has been done forever that you guys have been sitting on.
No, and that's funny you say that, because the original podcast we did, we talked about, well, what do we do? And we talked through it. And you said, okay, Yamaha's got the best lights bike right now and the team's winning. Well, you go. That's where you go. And I said, well, there you have it, right? And I was like, oh, I can't say that, you know, because we're not in that situation. That sounds odd. And, you know, we really are with KTM. We want to make that work. And I saw and a lot of media guys are like, yeah, and they'll just keep running. They'll use that as clickbait And you were cool enough to delete it and say, you know what, let's take that out for now. That's not going to help the situation. It doesn't help Hayden where he's at in his career. That was cool, you know? And I said, well, save that for, you know, like save it for if it ever gets brought up again. And I was like, I kind of laughed. I'm like, yeah, that's pretty funny that we can actually play that now. But yeah, we at the end of the day, you can ask Hayden. He went and rode the factory bike. We went down to Alden's. And Alden's is awesome, man. Killer facility. It's like, it's, I mean, these guys, you know, they produce some of the best champions. And it is awesome, you know. But we went down there and checked it out. And then Hayden rode the factory bike. And I even like called KTM. I'm like, let's get Hayden on the bike again. And I was really pushing, you know, going, let's ride the bike. I want to make sure that like we're making the right decision and try to give every opportunity possible to make it work, to be honest. Like we really did. And out of respect for them and respect for all the time that we spent together, I was like, let's really, really try. And that was something they said. They're like, man, this really got drug out long, this whole ending, this negotiation. I said, yeah, because we were really trying to make it work. We're trying to figure it out, you know? And I go, otherwise we would have just said, hey, cool, boom, thanks, later. Like, and that's not how it was.
Yeah.
You know? So, that's just at the end of the day, you know, it got down to the last minutes on the clock. Really, that's kind of the way it played out.
Yeah. Yeah. And what's your sense now with KTM? Like, are you, in your mind, do you feel like it's not going to be cool because there's going to be people that are bummed. Like, it just, yeah. You can't even sit here and say like, mm-hmm. oh no, everything's fine. They're so happy we're on Yamaha. Yeah. Like, that's not the reality of it. But there's a certain way that you can go about shit that leaves the right taste in people's mouth at the end of it all. So, like, do you think that there is that, like, there is a good taste in everybody's mouth as much as there kind of can be in this circumstance?
Well, that's good you asked that. I think, like, Nathan Ramsey was probably made it the hardest for us because we were close to him, right? You know, I grew up racing with him.
He's the best guy, dude.
And he's just a nice
so
dude.
So underrated in this industry. Yeah. He is so underrated, man. I need to get Nate Dogg on the podcast. People don't understand how good of a human that guy is.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Nathan would be a great pro team manager, you know? I feel like he's just that guy. Like, he's been there. He's a factory racer champion. Like, he you know, we had a lot of respect for him, and we, you know, obviously still do. And we're just like, we listened to him. Hayden listened to him. And he was our go-to guy, you know, at KTM. He really was. Yeah. And I feel like the hardest part was telling him that we were going to go a different direction. That was the hardest, like, conversation. Like, I was like, you know what, Hayden? We got to call and talk to Nathan right now and just talk to him. And we did. Like, Hayden and I called him and said, hey, dude, we just want to say you've been awesome. And I'm just apologize. I'm sorry. Like, this is going a different direction. But as of right now, we have to go with way we believe Hayden's gonna have his best chance at his age to develop. Nathan was cool. I mean, obviously he wasn't stoked. He was like, yeah, he's like, all right. He's like, you know, I gotta respect your guys' decision. And then we brought the bike back because we got that 250F, and Hayden and I brought it back to KTM to say thank you, shake hands, and you know, and I feel like that's a respectful thing to do. And I think it is, you go shake hands, say thank you, and we appreciate it. Look people in the eye, and you know, and that's the way relationships should end. And so there's always an, you know, respect, whether there's an open door there or not, that's their decision. It's not mine. But I feel like we tried to leave there with the most respect possible. And, you know, we called Ian, we tried to go to the office and see him, but he wasn't there. And we called him and said, hey man, we just want to say thank you for everything. And he was appreciative. He said, yeah, you know, you're welcome. And we have to respect your decision. And he said, you know, we'll see you at the races. You know, that's kind of just the way. And he's like, you never know, right? He's like, never know in racing. You know, things could change. Things can come around. I get it. Like, and that was their vibe. And I think their vibe is, you know, you never know what happens in the future, right? It's just the sport of racing. And in this sport, every 2 years, people jump from team to team to team. So I feel like we left with the best vibe possible, even though it wasn't like probably the best vibe.
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, I get it. They weren't stoked. It wasn't they weren't happy, but you know, I feel like it was respectful.
Man, to have Hayden go and wheel that bike in as well, to like, bro, that's gotta be fucking heavy for a 15-year-old kid to just be like, God damn, I gotta wheel this bitch into the shop and just be like, hey, thanks, but no thanks. Like,
yeah,
that's a good lesson for that, for him to learn, dude.
Yeah, and I, yeah, exactly. And I felt like that was important for him to do. I felt like it was important for him to look people, you know, on the face, or, you know, at least talk to them and say, hey, we appreciate your, should appreciate your support, and this is the direction we're going. And as he matures, he's going to have to do that a lot, right? He's going to have to make hard decisions and stick to them, and make them and move on and progress. That's the way it's got to be.
Yeah. Yeah, man, that is so true. So yeah, for him to have to go and do that is, that's a pretty legit little life experience. so what other options were on the table? Like, I heard that, well, I mean, I'm sure everyone was keen, mm-hmm. but like Honda, they just signed Chance, mm-hmm. Was it Chance?
Hyman.
Yeah, so yeah, they just Hymus, signed
yeah.
him.
Yeah.
Oh, Hymus. So they signed that deal. He's a monster kid.
Yep.
So I'm pretty sure that option would have been there. Obviously, they just won the championship with Jet. So that's got to get a few wheels turning. And then the monster with Pro Circuit. Before we get into that, was there ever an option with KTM for Hayden to go there and keep Monster?
No.
Or was that just no, it's just like Red Bull KTM. So that was like a full... If you come here, it's 100% Red Bull.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, we talked about it. We're like, man, even if he went, let's just say gas, like could he run Monster there? Like, we're trying every angle, like, eh. And they just really, they're like, that's out of my realm. Like, that's a business deal. I have nothing, obviously no sway in any of that. And I think those roads have already been, you know, talked about. And it was kind of like, no. It was like, this is Red Bull's our deal, and this is the way it is. I said, all right, cool. Respect it. It is what it is, right? So now, like, that answer, that's no. So that wasn't an option. So, yeah, then the other options you have, you know, Honda's, yeah, you could run Monster at Honda for sure. And of course, we talked to Honda, right? And they were, Honda was already in the works with Chance, and they said, we really don't have an amateur program to launch up right now. But they were... Let's just say the talks went on for a while there. You know, there was definitely an interest and I think along with, let's just, you know, say Honda was, okay, so Hayden goes there, bikes and parts, amateur deal. My worry was who's training Hayden and what's the program? And that was my worry for that, right? Bikes are awesome. Team's awesome, obviously. But what was his training program from 15, 16 to 17? And there you already have, you know, Lawrence Brothers jumped in. They're already developed. They're already good. They're just, you know, getting better. I just didn't see a really development program for Hayden, you know, so I was a little worried on that. And then obviously I talk to Mitch all the time. I see him. He's a friend. And Mitch is kind of more like, if you're serious, call me. You know, like if you really want to ride with me, hit me up. You know, so you don't want to F with Mitch too much, right? You know, like you don't want to, like, you know. So you know what I'm saying? You just don't, like. So I was like, you know what, Hayden? Unless you're dead set on riding a Cowie, like I'm not even going to stir up that deal, right? And it was so we just out of respect said, okay, let's not even jump on that unless you're really, really serious about that. And honestly, it just out of respect, we said, you know what. Hayden probably should have went and rode the bike, to be honest. He should have went and tried it. But, you know, out of respect, we were like, hey, we kind of set on these few deals we got going, and that's what it was.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Yeah. Dude, isn't it crazy to you just to like step back from the whole situation? And, you know, I was talking to Hayden about it, but it's like you guys have figured out that. So like before, right? You go, there's racing and this is not entertainment. Like, we're here to race. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, if you wanted to be the entertaining guy, then just go and do freestyle. Like, mm-hmm. There's no room for that here. And then it's like this whole Deegan's thing and the YouTube channel and the social media stuff. It's like, no, we can race and we can provide entertainment. We can mm-hmm. give you something to follow. So it's like, it's kind of crazy when you step back from this whole deal. And it's like, I mean, the first thing I did Monday morning was wake up and watch to see the deal, you know, like I kind of assumed it was Star. I didn't know. Yeah. It's cool, man. Like it's so cool that you guys can generate this kind of buzz around realistically just a 15-year-old kid racing a dirt bike. And it's so cool that and he's amateur, you know, and it's like, and then at the end of the video, he's like, you know, I'm going to go race Minios. And I'm like, why am I so excited for a kid that's about to go race Minios? You serious?
Because we built a story over so many years with social media, and we built
it's
a story.
So true.
People, imagine if you got to follow, you know, Carmichael or Stewart or Reed or whoever since we were a kid and built this momentum, and you're like, yeah, what's next? What's next? You got to follow this whole movement, and I think it's pretty cool that we're able to do that now with social media. And we're taking advantage of it, man. We're putting videos out where we have the filmers, we're investing in it. And I love how when we did these deals that the teams were like, you know what, we haven't really done this too much before, but we're open to it. Yeah, if you want to film, yeah, that's cool. And I was like, oh, all right, good. Because I thought, yeah. Wow, there'd be kind of a hard line in the sand on that. You know, and they're like, no, let's do it. And I think people saw that it sells bikes, it sells equipment, and it makes sponsors happy, makes partners happy. So I'm like, okay, let's keep it rolling. And as of right now, I mean, dude, we're at the coolest facility with the coolest riders, and we're allowed to film. Like, dude, awesome, right? That's just a bonus. That wasn't like the reason why we did the deal at all, but like, wow, that's a cherry on top. And so we're going to bring some cool stuff, whether, you know, we're going to, you know, obviously crawl before we walk and, you know, show Hayden and, you know, yeah. And if other guys want to be included, cool, you know, and if not, I respect that too, you know? So, and obviously we're smart enough not to show any secrets or show, you know, and then get out of respect for the teams and be smart. And, you know, I think there's a cool story there with Hayden. And I think, you know, he's him and Nick Romano have been riding a lot together. And I think it's cool, man. I think there's just a cool story of a young kid chasing a dream, dude.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And I think that, I mean, we've spoken about it privately as well, but I mean, people don't realize the power of your YouTube channel. People don't realize what you've like really created. And you know, you think about Star's presence, right? Like they've gone just in this week, zero YouTube presence. Star, like second biggest. People don't understand. YouTube is the second biggest search engine on planet Earth behind Google, right? Easy. So if you have a presence on YouTube, and when you type in motocross on YouTube, if your shit's popping up, that is massive. And so Star's gone from like literally zero YouTube presence to now they're just going to be getting like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of views a week. Million. It's like fucking cha-ching for Star, you know? And I mean, they don't like, they probably don't give a fuck because they want to win races, but it's like, that I don't even think they understand the impact that this whole deal could have on their program and just the sport in general going forward. And I was curious as to Like, if they said, like, oh, yeah, we're probably not going to be doing the filming thing. Mm-hmm. Like, we're just here to race. Like, does the YouTube channel stop? Like, mm-hmm. you know, where was the head at on that? Yeah. But the fact that they're down, I think that opens up the doors, like, even more for, you know, the sport to grow.
Yeah, and then exactly. That's what a good point on that is, you know, I feel like with so much momentum, with millions of followers or subscribers, and you just bring that into the sport. And I know we've brought hundreds and hundreds of new kids to the sport of motocross and introduced them to it. And they bought bikes, they bought equipment, they've serviced their bikes, all this stuff that's feeding into this ecosystem of moto. And I think that was cool for Yamaha and even KTM and, you know, all the guys we were talking to go, yeah, we're cool with it. Keep it going, man. It's a good thing. And I'm like, cool, dude, yeah. Because it's really good for the sport. And I really wish more guys would do it. And it would help grow this sport to another level, man. And it's cool. We're going to keep bringing stuff. And I feel like there's a lot of cool stories that are still untold. And I'm excited that we're in a different spot of the United States right now, that there's a lot of untapped stories there. And I think it's going to be a cool new chapter in our channel for sure.
Yeah. And I think that, it's definitely would be smart for the other boys on the team to like leverage off it. And I mean, I think about in terms of our Gypsy Tales, like I call it like our Gypsy Tales universe, you mm-hmm. know, like you've got these people, and then once they come on the show, they're like a part of the crew, and then, you know, you kind of go back and forth, and that, you know, stuff like this. It's like, this is a little add-on to what we've done before. And mm-hmm. then it just like thickens out these storylines that you've got, and people that are invested in this channel. It's like they're not here for me, they're not here just for the guests, they're here for like the whole thing. Like mm-hmm. they want to see the evolution, they want to see the new studio, they want to see the, oh, you're doing these bike, you know, they like to see all of these different storylines. And what you guys have done by now, like, you go to Star, you've got all these great guys around you, it's like now you can start to bring in all these new characters. Like, your channel has been so sick over the last like years based on just the Deegan family. And now you guys are like going into this whole new season of content where it's like you've just introduced this whole new group of characters into the mix. And I think that, you know, from a storyline perspective and from characters that are going to be involved in the videos daily, it's just like this huge step up. And I think that it puts just moto and supercross in general on just like this completely different platform that we've ever seen before.
Yeah. And imagine if all the teams had like their own YouTube channel, like say Honda, Cowie, you know, Yamaha, like KTM. So imagine if they had their own YouTube channels and they all went behind the scenes with all the riders at the tracks. And obviously there's certain things they aren't going to show, but just told those stories. Imagine how big those would be. You know, imagine like it would be crazy. And I feel like that's kind of what, you know, we are able to do with following Hayden's pro career. And, you know, like I said, that was definitely not the highest thing on our contract yeah. deal of like, oh, we got to be able to film all this stuff. No, we just want to tell Hayden's story, and whoever wants to be included in that story, good. And if you guys have helped benefit your social and you're able to grow and get more from your sponsors, killer, perfect, you know? And if not, we've ran our channel yeah. as the Deegans for many years, right? And so it's fine, you know, and we're cool either way. But yeah, I mean, think of who Hayden's riding with, dude. it's you know,
it's insane.
It's insane, dude. And like I said, it's out of respect. It's, you know, it's clearly up to them, and up to, you know, if people want to be a part of it, cool, and it's an open door. And if not, cool too. You know, I'm cool either way. It's I feel like we've always had a pretty good story, and it seems to just getting more interesting by the day.
Yeah, so when we did the first one, you wished that you spoke more about the guys that run the YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. So while we're on the topic, do you want to like lay out, because I know, Ronan knows how much effort you guys put into your YouTube channel, because we're slowly trying to do the same thing. So what goes into it, and like the evolution of it, and like do you sit, where do you see it going in the future? I guess, kind of get off the chest of what you wanted to say in the first one, maybe.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like, you know, we've been at this many years and, you know, Gavin Ayala from, you know, Ayala Media has been behind this, you know, for I think almost 10 years now. It's crazy. And then we met at a jump show one day.
Wow.
He was just filming Jimmy Fitzpatrick at a Fitzpatrick freestyle demo at the mall or something. And I'm like, hey, what's up, dude? And anyway, he's like, I'll come film. And we just, you know, one thing led to another and it grew and grew and grew. And guys have come and gone. You know, many guys have come in and filmed and edited. Like Tyler Buckingham was great. There's guys that he still helps. There's still guys that come in and are involved in that we take content from, you know, all types of filmers that, you know, want to send content, bring it in, edit it, and, you know, obviously support those guys. So I feel like it's just a machine that keeps rolling, keeps moving. And like I said, Gavin just hired a full-time editor now that's at the office just editing. So the content just goes to him 24 hours a day. Boom, 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 boom. And he's just putting out these videos, dude. And you guys don't understand how much work it is. Like, it is not just like, oh, let me do a phone video and put this together. Hayden got a clip today and let's put it out. It's not that, dude. It's not Instagram reels, dude. Trust me. Like, it's so, and what's cool now is like this deal happened and the sponsors are like, hey, can you send me an edit? Yeah, no problem. I'll get you a special edit. Actually, I'm going to give you something different than anyone else has. Okay. Boom, bam. You know? And these guys are getting these special edits, special clips. Who else does that? You know what I'm saying? Like, at the end of the day, it's like, you know, there's, I'm sure teams do that. I'm sure there's marketing companies that are hired for the teams that do that. But, you know, I think it's something I wish more guys would probably do. And I think overall people, the voice has gone to the writers. The voice has gone to the athlete. So it used to be, oh, we have to go to these big media sources, these big mags, these big TV channels. And now it's like, no, I just want to go to the athlete and hear what he has to say. And that's why, imagine that an athlete got to put out his own release that I'm writing for a team through his own channel. Wow. Isn't that crazy, right? Like, that's what we did, right? Like, our release was done through our network that we've built, and it happened on Monday, and it went out, and it blew up, right? And so, and through the channels and support of all our industry, right, we have so many good media channels in our industry that have, you know, that are involved, that we support and are part of, are, you know, basically work with. But, you know, also the athlete has a voice now. It's different than what it was 10 years ago, for sure.
Oh, and there's more like accountability on the media side of it too, you know what I mean? Like, writers actually can call out the media. Like, if there's some dumb shit that gets said, it's like, no, hang on a second, man. You know, like, you are right. Like, the writers have more of a voice. And I think that over time, that's just going to contribute to better media because there's just more accountability. You can't get away with just saying shit and not have a writer have the ability to come back at you or not have, like, another place where he can go. So I think that is, like, moving just, like, into a better direction. And that's one of the things that I get a lot from people is, like, oh, can you imagine if Ricky was like this? Imagine if James was like this. And I was like, all right, here's what you got to understand. There's no social media. How the fuck do they get to say what they want to say? Yeah. They got to go on this show, or they got to, it's only this interview, and then they only get asked these questions. And then, like you said before, you say something that you like, or you get led, like I led you down a road with that star thing. Like, this just is like, I'm a fucking interviewer. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm leading you to that place. Yeah. And then you get there and you're like, oh, all right. Yeah, you got me. Like, Star Yama, that's the move, right? And it's like, not, you know, back in the day, not everyone's down to take that shit out because they know that you got no, like, what are you going to do? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're going to say like, oh, I didn't say that. This is what meant. So now I think the whole landscape's changed, and that's for the better.
It is. It holds accountability. And I remember back when I raced, there was one mag that didn't like me. They always put out negative stuff about me. And I was like, gosh, I just so bad wanted to have a voice, but I didn't. And the only way you could get a voice, you had to win the race and get on the mic. And the one time I won a race, like, I got on the mic and I spoke my mind. And at the end of the day, now you have a voice daily. And it's good for the athlete, but it's also, has its negatives too, but you know, at the end of the day, you have your, you know, it gives everyone a voice, not just the athlete, right? So it definitely has its moments for good and bad, but you know, I don't know. Overall, I think it's been a strong thing for our sport, and it's cool. I go to a lot of different sports. I go to NASCAR a lot with Haley and see a lot of different things. Moto's got it pretty good, dude. The moto, like moto riders are pretty good on social, dude. They rank up there, I think, with the highest of guys who understand it, that use it correctly and use it well, you know? And I think you look at like a lot of the other sports, a lot of the other sports don't use it as much as they should. And I think moto guys get it, man. They really do. They are good at the Instagram posts and I don't know, man, it's just the action sport community gets it. And the energy drink vibe is, you know, around that and is all, everyone kind of thinks that way, you know?
Nah, you know where it comes from, bro? Crusty fucking demons.
Crusty demons. They're OG, right? Dude,
right, aren't like bro, I can tell you right now, the reason I'm sitting in this chair doing this interview right now is because of watching Crusty Demons of Dirt.
That's funny.
Like, when I grew up, that's all we had, man. Like, we had VHS tapes of Crusty Demons. Like, I didn't even have racing tapes. Like, I was more into racing, and I would, like, watch Crusty's for, like, any time there was, like, the racing segments. But it's like, dude, an entire, like, generation of action sports was raised in the two wheels was raised on those videos. Mountain bikes, BMX, like that was the shit. So I honestly think that the effort that went into those videos and what you guys did with filming, I think that's actually a massive reason why moto guys now, like my generation, like Dean Wilson and all those kind of guys, they got it because we had dope videos to watch as kids. Like there was no videos like that for football or basketball, you know what I mean? It wasn't like a cultural kind of movement in that way.
Not for sure. Crusty's kicked it off 100%. That was the video craze, and that helped bring in a lot of people to the sport that never would have bought a dirt bike, and Crusty's was the beginning. As much as people don't want to say it, that was the movement that changed dirt bikes forever. Crusty Demons, the Moto Triple X deal, all the videos that came out, and that you just waited for that one video a year, and then it turned into what it is now, man. And yeah, so that was what kicked it off. I mean, that's a whole nother podcast in itself, but it's cool to recognize that, man. I think I've lived that generation all the way to this generation to see all these changes, and was a part of that beginning to where it is now, and still trying to build media off what's given to us, man. So it's I just get it. The media is so important, man. Winning races for sure, and media, bam, right there. So I'm excited.
So do you think you will be able to be a little bit you'll be able to be a little bit more hands off with Hayden now? You're just gonna have less day to day shit to do. And do you think that the partnerships and the media is something you'll just, like, you just naturally gravitate towards it anyway? But, you know, like, you did the Method Wheels thing at Loretta's. That was a pretty dope partnership. And then, obviously, the YouTube channel. So, it's like, do you just see yourself, like, leaning more and more into that? And do you have ideas of growing the media side of it more than what you already are?
I'm still racing, you know. I still race off-road. I still do a lot of stuff with Can-Am. I still do side-by-sides. I still have a ton of my own partners, I just enjoy racing. I love four-wheel racing. Gives me that avenue to go race. You know, me racing a dirt bike, you know, that's not happening. I ride dirt bikes for fun. I ride with my kids. I still hit ramps once in a while. Maybe do a seat grab here or there. You know, like, I still enjoy that. But as far as, like, the partnerships, business, racing, I race four wheels. And that's where I saw partners, strong partners. You know, like dirt bikes, I get it. Dirt bikes is, I love it. But the level of sponsorship here, right? Then you go to off-road.
Yeah.
Then you get four wheels, right? Because four wheels is a much bigger market. Then you go to NASCAR, right? Boom. There's so many levels. Yeah. And I feel like we have our hand kind of in all those levels. So, man, if we can bring more partners and more support to Moto, dude, trust me, we will try. Like, it definitely is something we are, you know, have always been doing. So if we can bring that to Moto, yeah, for sure. I'd love to bring more partners into the sport, for sure. Hayden's waving his hand at me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah, he's like, yeah. So.
We'll wrap this up then, man. Obviously, I could talk to you forever. So wrap it up. But I appreciate you guys coming on and wanting to like talk about this deal. I mean, obviously, it'll do a lot for our channel and us. So I appreciate you being so willing to help us out, because that's the reality of it, man. Like this shit definitely does help us on our end. So
yeah, and I know I you're so welcome, man. And I feel like I've always been kind of the more like, I'd say edgy, like raw, gritty style. And I feel like I'm like, you know, we got to have a kind of talk about this, because there's so much out there right now. Oh, this, that. I'm like, let's set the record straight, man. Let's jump on with someone that can get the message out. And I feel like you have a good channel, and you speak the truth, and you let the athletes say what they want to say. And it comes out in a good way, that it's not you're not baiting for you know, to cause drama. I feel like if the drama starts, it's because the athlete wants it to start. And I feel like you guys I feel like you have a good thing going with the Gypsy Tales podcast. I feel like it is. I feel like it's a good thing. And that's why I'm like, you know what, Hayden, let's make time for this. Because trust me, did we have 2 or 3 hours tonight to stop and film a podcast? No. But, nope. You know, but I'm like, yeah. Let's.
And the effort you guys put in to make it look good, too.
Right? So, and I feel like we made the time here. We want to get the story out. And it was the right place to do it was through you. And there's a lot of good media outlets out there. And we can't do them all. You know, I realize that. And but, yeah, anything that supports Moto in a positive way, we back it, we support it, you know? I feel like we're all one big community, as much as everyone's in competition to be the man or a woman. And I feel like that's, we're all together, right? At the end, we're all in the same mission moving forward. So I feel like it's good, man. I feel like it's good. And then you touched on that too, that I want to touch on that quick too, because I feel like we had this big movement of kids and families going, oh, we got into dirt bikes because of you guys. Or because of your channel, this, that. And we bought a KTM, or we bought, you know, and I'm like, hey, dude. And I'm still backing that. If you went out and bought a KTM because of us, good, man, good. Because it is a good bike, right? If you went out and bought a 65, 85 Super Mini, good. Because I know you got a good bike and you came into the sport. And hopefully you're having a great time and enjoying the family time together. And I felt like that, you know, I don't want anyone to feel like, oh, they jumped ship and they went this way. Hey, like I said, it's one community. It's one big community. Everyone is really working towards the same goals. It's two wheels, an engine, and we all love it, right? We all love it. So you know, now it's blue. Now it's Yamaha, and man, it's just it's a new chapter. But we're all in the same book, right? So I feel like I just wanted to kind of speak that and say, hey guys, keep riding your dirt bikes, and you know, keep supporting the social, and we'll keep bringing it to you guys. It should be a crazy adventure still ahead.
Yeah, definitely. And so have we covered everything that you think you want to cover, just to make sure that there's nothing sort of else left to say?
I think, like, as far as I think everything's good. You know, like I said, I would say thanks to everyone that support our channel, because it's not just me and my family. Like, there's a lot of people behind the scenes. Like, homie will let us use his garage tonight. He's like, he's just standing here.
Jack Berg.
So.
What's pickle, baby?
Yeah, there it is. Jack Berg, right? So he's opened up his spot, let us come here and film. This is Moto. This is what people do, right? And he sat here and helped us set up the backdrop, set up the lights, get the tape out, the mic. Hey, dude, it's a Moto community, and we'll all work together. And so I appreciate it, dude. It's we'll keep it coming. However, we got to keep it coming. So, I think we covered everything. Until next time.
Yeah, dope. And shout out to BAM TV. That's what Jack works on. So
BAM TV.
The Deegans, you already know what that is. Mm-hmm. But yeah, man, like I said, I appreciate that. This definitely helps us on our end. Like anything that we can do for you guys going forward. Like I said, rising tide floats all boats, you know. I think that you know, this is like a kind of a new way to kind of do this sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I hopefully that, you know, I mean, people are doing what you guys are doing.
Yeah.
You know, people are mm-hmm. starting to, you know, and there's probably going to be times where you feel like people are ripping your shit off, straight up directly. But that's what comes with trailblazing. You know what I mean? Like, that's part of being a guy that is doing the right thing first. Yeah. Anyway, man, like I said, we can talk for ages, but I'll let you guys go.
Awesome. Thank you. And the one thing I have to say is, like, I am truly excited as a fan of this sport to watch this next generation of kids come up and race. Right. And I get it. Yeah. It's getting to this kind of weird age that these kids are teenagers. So they're starting to get kind of this little edgy personalities and like holding their ground. But you think of all these good kids that are lining up, right? And there's a list a mile long, and I hate to start naming them because I don't want to leave anyone out. But it's all the kids that Hayden's race against, you know? It's like, you know, like Sam, they did a post on it just recently on RacerX with, you know, Ryder D, Chance Hymus. You have Boost Flug and Bennick, and you have Jet Reynolds, and you have Nick Romano.
Yeah.
And like I said, the list goes on, and I know there's many, many more on there. But imagine when these gates like are full and the supercross and motocross future is bright, man. It's bright. You know, as much as ever this craziness happened in the world, we're still riding dirt bikes, dude. And we're still going to race them. Yeah. So it's going to be good.
Nah. Amen, mate.
Cool.
Amen. All right, brother. I'll talk to you soon. I appreciate it once again, eh?
Yeah, thanks, dude. We'll catch you next time.
For sure, dude. Thanks, man.
Later. Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no worries.